This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight we continue our midweek Lenten series entitled Christ on Trial. These sermons are based on the manuscripts from a little-known trial concerning a man named Jesus, also called the Christ and the Son of God. The transcripts of this trial deal with Jesus' arrest and eventual execution. And the central issue of the trial is this. Was this Jesus guilty, or was this Jesus innocent? People throughout history have debated that very issue. And the transcripts of this trial will research the facts and allow you to draw your own conclusion. 3 weeks ago, you heard the opening statement from the prosecutor. 2 weeks ago, you had the chance to hear the first witness for the defense, the Apostle Matthew. Last week, you heard the second witness for the defense, a healed woman. Tonight, I will read a transcript for you, which will allow you to hear the witness of a man named Nicodemus, who at one time was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, most of Nicodemus' fellow Pharisees hated Jesus and despised his teaching. But as you will hear from this transcript, Nicodemus ends up trusting in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So, please listen carefully as I read this transcript, which records for us the witness of Nicodemus. Here's how it reads. My name is Nicodemus. Many people may be surprised that I am a witness for the defense. You see, I used to be a famous Pharisee. In fact, I was even a member of the Jewish ruling council, also called the Sanhedrin, which was the Jews' highest authority and governing body. The Sanhedrin was made up of 70 priests, scribes, Pharisees, and distinguished laymen. Their president was the high priest, and they decided matters of religious law as well as civil disputes that fell under religious law. However, I ended up being shunned by this Sanhedrin. As you hear my testimony, you'll understand why this is the case. Now, the details that I'm about to share with you can actually be found in a book written by a man named the Apostle John. In fact, you'll be hearing John's testimony in the future. But for now, allow me to give you the details in my own words. You see, I first heard about this man named Jesus when many of my fellow Jews were going out into the wilderness of Judea to hear a man called John, whom many believed to be a prophet. In fact, some even thought that John might be the promised Messiah. But John cleared that up right away. In fact, some of my fellow Pharisees were sent to question John and find out who he was. And John insisted that he was not the Messiah, or the Christ, as we say in Greek. Instead, John quoted the words of the prophet Isaiah, and he applied them to himself. Here's what he said. He quoted Isaiah, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Now this confused my fellow Pharisees. You see, John had been preaching that people should repent of their sins and receive God's forgiveness in the waters of baptism, which John was administering in God's name. And we were wondering why John would do this if he were not the Messiah. Well, John then explained that he was preaching and baptizing to prepare people to meet the Lord. In other words, John was claiming that he was getting us ready to meet God himself. Now, how could that be, we wondered. Well, the next day, John did something even more shocking. The next day, a man named Jesus started walking up to John. John then pointed all of us to Jesus, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And after that, John said, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was so that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John went on and said this. He said, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Now let me tell you, we Pharisees couldn't believe our ears. John was not only saying that this Jesus was the promised Messiah, but even more, John was saying that this Jesus was the very Son of God, God in human flesh. What's even more amazing is that some people were present when John baptized Jesus, and they claimed they saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and they also claimed that they heard a voice from heaven speak, and this voice said, "This is my beloved Son." Well, we Pharisees didn't know what to make of all this. I mean, if Jesus were actually the Messiah, we would have been excited. You see, we Pharisees thought that we had kept God's law almost perfectly. So if Jesus were the Messiah, well, we expected him to be impressed with us and reward us accordingly. But instead, both John and Jesus said some things we didn't like at all. In fact, two things stick in my mind. First, John expected us Pharisees to repent of our sins and be baptized like everyone else. I, for one, was not about to do that. I mean, it made sense for sinners to repent and be baptized, but why should a righteous man like me need to repent? At least, that's how I was thinking at that time in my life. And that's why I did not submit to baptism at first. You see, I was a respectable Pharisee. I refuse to receive a baptism for common sinners. There was another thing, though, that was even more offensive. John was saying things about Jesus that we simply could not accept. Not only was John calling Jesus the Messiah, but even more than that, he was calling Jesus the very Son of God, thereby claiming that Jesus was God himself. On top of that, remember John called Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Now, we could not understand at that time why John gave Jesus that title. You see, God had instructed us Jews to sacrifice lambs and other animals in the temple to remind us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And then, of course, there were the lambs whose blood we shed during the Passover festival. But if Jesus really were the Son of God, why would his blood be shed? I mean, if Jesus really were God, why would he let anyone hurt him in any way? I mean, we just couldn't understand. It all seemed like nonsense. And some of us were greatly offended. Well, as time passed, we started hearing amazing reports about this Jesus who claimed to be the Christ and also the very Son of God. Some people told us that he had changed water into wine. And then there was that incident at the temple in Jerusalem. Allow me to explain that one. You see, we Jewish rulers allowed merchants to sell sacrificial animals in the outer courts of the temple. Now, some people complained about this because they said that that space was reserved for prayer and for prayer alone, and I guess they were right. But we Jewish rulers allowed this market because we thought it was a convenient way to provide sacrificial animals for people at a fair price. And besides, this practice brought some money into the temple treasury. Well, one day Jesus showed up at the temple. When he saw the outer court of the temple filled with stores and money changers, well, he flew into a rage. He made a whip out of cords and he drove the merchants from the outer court. As if that weren't bad enough, Jesus then spoke these words. He said, "How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" Not only did Jesus challenge a practice that we Jewish council members had blessed, but once again, Jesus claimed to be God himself when he referred to God as his own Father. Well, after Jesus did and said such things, we Pharisees and others on the council, we said to him, "Jesus, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" Jesus then spoke these strange words to us. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Well, at this point, we thought Jesus was insane. I mean, he was claiming that he could rebuild a temple that took us over 46 years to build. But I guess we thought that anyone who claimed to be God was crazy enough to make such claims. But what we didn't realize, what I didn't realize, was that Jesus was talking about himself and his own resurrection from the dead. In fact, in that book written by the Apostle John, John explains this. John writes that when Jesus said, "This temple," well, he wasn't talking about the building. He was actually talking about his own body and how he would raise it again in 3 days. Now, of course, we didn't know what Jesus meant at the time. However, as you know, our council later arranged for Jesus' crucifixion and death. You could say that we destroyed his body. But then, his body rose from the grave 3 days later. And we couldn't refute it either because the very Roman guards that we had posted at the tomb, they were witnesses of the resurrection. Now, at this point, you might wonder why the whole Jewish council did not eventually believe if the resurrection was irrefutable. Well, you need to realize something. It's hard to believe in Jesus if you refuse to admit that you are a lost sinner. You see, Jesus had performed many other miraculous signs for us even before his resurrection. Many people were amazed by his miracles. In fact, I was amazed by Jesus' miracles. Even though I didn't like the fact that Jesus told me to repent, nor was I comfortable with Jesus' claim to be God, I still had to admit that his miracles were very convincing. In fact, I thought his miracles proved that he was at least a prophet from God. However, Only a few other Pharisees thought the way I did about Jesus, because most of my fellow Pharisees were so upset and they hated me for even giving Jesus the benefit of the doubt. So as a result, I had to be very careful what I said about Jesus among my fellow Pharisees. Most of them thought I should reject Jesus altogether. But something told me I had to give Jesus a chance. So here's what I did. One night, under the cover of darkness, I went to Jesus in secret, and I said to him, "Rabbi, a few of us, know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." You see, I was willing to admit that Jesus was a prophet. I just wasn't ready to believe that he was the Son of God or that he could take away my sins. I mean, after all, I was a Pharisee who had kept God's law. What sin did I have to take away? I was already in God's kingdom. Or at least, that's what I thought. But what Jesus said to me next totally shocked me. Jesus said that no one could be in God's kingdom unless he was born again. Now, at first, I was confused. Another confusing statement by Jesus. I thought he was saying that I had to go back into my mother's womb. I thought to myself, well, maybe my fellow Pharisees are right. Maybe Jesus is crazy. But then Jesus explained things more carefully. Jesus said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Then I knew what Jesus was trying to say to me. You see, he was rebuking me. He was rebuking me for not confessing my sins and refusing to be baptized by John along with the other sinners. I couldn't believe what Jesus was saying. Here I was. I was willing to give Jesus the benefit of the doubt. I was willing to risk my standing with the Jewish ruling council. I was willing to admit that he was a prophet. And what does Jesus do? He rewards my support by telling me that I was not in God's kingdom. So I said to him, "How can this be?" You see, I expected Jesus to be impressed with my godly life as a Pharisee. But instead, he told me I was a sinner who needed to repent and receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit in baptism. How could Jesus say such things to me? But then, Jesus went on to say other things that totally transformed my life. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Now, I thought it very strange that Jesus compared himself to the snake that Moses had lifted up in the desert. You see, years and years before I was born, God had sent snakes to punish my ancestors after they had rejected God in the desert. But after God punished them, some of them confessed their sin and cried out to God for mercy. And what did God do then? Well, God told Moses to hang one of the snakes on a pole and raise it up, and told the people to look at the snake, and by looking at the snake, they were to believe that their sins would be forgiven and that God would take away the punishment. You see, the snake that should have punished them ended up being hung on a pole and became a sign of God's mercy. So, I guess Jesus was trying to explain to me that he would be hung up on a pole and become a sign of God's mercy. but I just didn't quite understand. But then Jesus went on to speak these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. At that moment, the Holy Spirit began to convict me through Jesus' words. I began to finally understand why John called Jesus the Lamb of God. Jesus was telling me that he had come to give his life and shed his blood in the place of sinners. And so, as long as I denied my sin, as long as I refused to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was already condemned and outside of God's kingdom. I then began to realize that all my works as a Pharisee meant nothing. I needed to repent of my sin also. I needed to be born again in holy baptism. Well, I didn't tell my fellow Pharisees about my encounter with Jesus. I didn't have enough courage yet, to my shame. But even though I now believed in Jesus, I felt, in spite of my fear, that at least I had to defend him to some extent at the Jewish ruling council. In fact, you know, ironically, they accused Jesus of breaking God's law, even though they could never prove it. So you know what I did? One time I told them that they were actually breaking God's law by assuming the worst of Jesus and not giving him a fair trial. Of course, they didn't like what I said. They even accused me of being one of those believers in Jesus. I also remember them asking me how Jesus could possibly be the Messiah since he had come from Galilee. They reminded me that the scripture teaches that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Well, so much for them researching the facts. If they would only have talked to Jesus, they would have found out that he had indeed been born in Bethlehem and then moved to Galilee after that. But they didn't bother to get the facts straight. You see, they were still so offended because Jesus had called them to repent of their sins and told them to trust in him as their Lord and Savior. So no matter how many miraculous signs Jesus performed, most of the council members were not willing to believe in him. But you know, I remember saying prayers for my fellow Pharisees because I knew that I would have been just like them if it had not been for Jesus changing my heart. Well, as you know, the Jewish council eventually arranged for Jesus' trial and crucifixion. But what they didn't understand was that Jesus was actually in control the entire time. You see, no one was forcing Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus willingly endured such a horrible death because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And let me tell you, I cannot thank God enough for giving me the faith to believe this truth. Now, after Jesus died, my friend Joseph and I asked for Jesus' body. We asked for his body so that we could prepare it for burial. And we were planning to place his body in Joseph's tomb. You see, my friend Joseph also believed in Jesus, although secretly. And Joseph had bought a very expensive tomb that he was planning to use for himself one day, but he decided to donate it to Jesus. I laugh about it now. Little Little did we know at the time that Joseph would get to use his own tomb after all. Because as you know, Jesus didn't stay in the tomb very long. On the third day after his death, Jesus rose from the dead. And even though he allowed us to destroy his temple, that is his body, he raised it again in 3 days, just as he said. And you know, Jesus had already given us many miraculous signs, proving that he was who he claimed to be. But now his own resurrection from the dead was the ultimate sign that he was and still is the very Son of God. However, here's the amazing thing. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, and even though he had the power to save himself from his enemies, he allowed his enemies to put him on a cross so that he could die in their place and save them from their sins. My friends, even though I was not one of the people who actually nailed Jesus to the cross, I began to understand that I was guilty of putting him there. And so are you. You see, we need to face the fact that our sins nailed Jesus to the cross. He did that for us so that through faith in him, we might be born again and have eternal life in God's love. Let me tell you again, I'm so glad that Jesus loved me enough to tell me what I needed to hear. I thank God every day that the Spirit worked through Jesus' words to convict me of my sin and bring me to faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And my prayer is that you will also repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, because he is the very Son of God and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Once again, if you want to, you can read about the details of my testimony in the book written by the Apostle John. In fact, I would like to close my testimony by reading for you a few words from the end of John's book. At the end of his book, John writes, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This ends my testimony. The Lord Jesus be with you all. Well, you've heard the witness of Nicodemus, the former Pharisee. Next week, you will hear the witness of a woman who had the reputation of being an adulteress. Until that time, feel free to discuss Nicodemus' testimony among yourselves. Amen.